Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation, and I just thank God we could be here today. Praise the name of the Lord. We are Jews and Gentiles that believe in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, as he's known. And today's topic is motivational speaking. And did being nice take the place of being holy? You know, we're living in this world. This is 2006, and we're in the month of February, and we're in the 11th month of God, Shavat. However, most people don't even know the scriptures, and they just go by whatever that's been pumped into us since we were children. You know, there's a big movement today. You could see it in the world. Whenever this tape is viewed in the future or now, you put your TV set on, there's speakers out there, there's preachers, there's Protestants are just unbelievable. Some of these Protestant ministers have like 28,000 people a week listening to their lukewarm messages of motivational speaking. And it's just so sad that people can't even tell the difference. They don't know the difference between the Word of God and the message that they're bringing, these motivational speakers. You know, Yeshua says, Jesus says, does my word offend you? You know, he already knows that making straight the way of the Lord is going to probably offend some people, because you're telling people to be holy, you're telling them to be godly in this world that is the opposite. You know, if we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 9, very seriously, it says, Isaiah is saying at this point, he says, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law, the Torah of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. And that's the way the world is even today. They don't want to hear the strong message of God, repent or perish. They want to hear smooth things, that they're okay, and that they're all God's children no matter what they're doing, and no matter what sins they're committing, they're always saved. You know, preaching the gospel of success and self-reliance, thinking optimistically and following your heart, has replaced the gospel of repentance of sin by the salvation that is in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus. And being holy and godly doesn't even count anymore. Now it's just being nice, hold a good thought. They think being right in their own eyes, they're right in their own eyes. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you do a study, and today with the advent of the internet, you can go online. Look up personal coaching, personal power, mastering our emotions, our body, our relationships, our finances, our life, our self-mastery. Look at all the websites and everything there is about weight loss goals and self-improvement. And look at all the products there are on self-improvement, the services and self-help gurus. There's so many books and CDs and DVDs and motivational seminars and computer software that would shock you. Infomercials, audio and video tapes, and of course many multimedia empires. All I could say is just unbelievable. We're being pounded by this something that seems correct in this world we're living, but no one's preaching the holiness of God. You know, there's speaking engagements of these motivational speakers. Some of them almost have the characteristics of a rock concert. You know, it's not a secret. Everyone should know. I'm not going to name any names. There's some people out there that are making $70, $80 million they have. $100 million. Motivational speakers is big business. There's probably literally thousands of professional lecturers in the United States alone. I've read only in the past decade the number of speakers on the lecture circuit has more than doubled. And some sources estimate that in the U.S. talk circuit, as it's called, probably is worth in the neighborhood of $1 billion overall. And that's counting all the types of speakers. There's probably over 5,000 professional speakers in the United States. That's not even counting all the ministers and pastors that have taken on the same antics and the same characteristics. There's leading booking agencies, and they get many unsolicited tapes a day for would-be speakers. Those who would make it to the top typically have their best-selling book, you know that, their number one book. And also, of course, they beat the television set to the pieces with exposure to their credit. In other words, they got so many. They're on TV and for exposure. Nowadays, being on Oprah Winfrey is particularly critical for quick success. I'm sure you guys know that. You know, some people earn $75,000 a day. Picture that, $75,000 a day. Some charge $20,000 to speak to corporate audiences. And some do infomercials and charge, listen to this, an infomercial, $125,000 a day. Not bad, huh? Isn't that amazing? People do this when they need other people to motivate them, when we have the Word of God that motivates us, gives us advice, encouragement, faith. Unbelievable. You know, it's sad to say that, but preachers have learned tremendous these abilities from these motivational speakers to excite and motivate their congregation and their people to a lukewarm gospel. That's the only problem. In Revelation 3:16, we see that if you're lukewarm, and you're neither cold or hot, God says he'll spew you out of his mouth. It's pretty scary. Book of Revelations. You know, the gospel that we are supposed to be preaching, and don't take me wrong, of course, we all need to make a living. We all need to put food on our tables, take care of our children, make sure you have a roof over your head. That's all just understandable. But what are you really supposed to be doing? You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 47, and Yeshua says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this is what should be done. The preaching of repentance and doing good works for God. You know, it's wonderful that you got certificates and trophies and, you know, you got awards from different situations and sports and, you know, whatever you do in your company. But what did you do for God? Because, you see, when the breath is going out of you, everything that you did in this planet for yourself, you're not going to be thinking of that. You're going to be thinking, what did I do for God? The book of Acts, chapter 5:31 says, Yeshua, Jesus, him, Jesus, had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and of course to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. This is what it's all about. Mark 4:17, Jesus himself began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Boy, I tell you, you never hear people saying anymore, repent. Repent of your sins. Get right with God. You never hear people saying that. It's always about, we're going to make you a better person, we're going to get you more money, we're going to give you a better career. But it's never, what about your soul? Did you make peace with God? He's the one you're going to meet. Mark 1:14 says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Isn't that great? This is what Yeshua said. He's supposed to be our example. So that would seem like good advice. How many people are doing that? See, but most people, they're scared that they will offend their congregation if they tell them to repent of their sins. Make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. You know, in the apostles, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this is what they were preaching. You know, even Peter said one time, he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. This is what it's all about. This is motivational. This is inspirational. You know, Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy." I'm going to read that again. This is a live broadcast, so don't worry about phones ringing and bells ringing, and we're going to continue on. Leviticus 20, verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves and be holy." Be holy. Sanctify yourselves. This is the message. Sanctify yourselves. Be holy, for I am holy. For I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Amen. Be holy. You know, 1 Peter 1:15, Peter says the same thing. Says, "But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy." You know, you never put the TV set on, I don't, and hear ministers going, "The Lord's coming, be holy, sanctify yourself, get down with God, repent of anything that you have between you and your God, let's get right with God." You never hear people talking like that anymore, because that's the gospel. They're preaching, "How many pounds did you lose? Did you get a raise? Come on." That's all fine and dandy, but what does it have to do with your eternal soul? You know, if you go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." So these people that are telling you to follow your heart, hey, the Bible says you better purify your heart. Purge that stuff out of your heart. You know, in Jeremiah 17:19 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Isn't that amazing? Proverbs says many places, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord." Boy, you never hear about fear the Lord anymore. That is definitely not popular. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When I even say that to myself, I think to myself, you never hear people say, "Fear the Lord." You never hear people say, "Repent. There's a burning hell, which is only a holding place until the time when death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire." See, these things are not talked about anymore, because you'll never have a big congregation. Could you imagine if I told somebody, "Repent, be sanctified, be holy"? You think I'd have 28,000 people coming to see me? Of course not. They'd be going to see these other people because the other people are telling them, "They're all right. They're good. Don't worry. God knows your heart. No one's perfect." And this is a false message. You know, we'll go back to the Bible, because I love reading the Bible instead of what people say. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." That's right. "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 16:2, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Proverbs 21:2, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." So is your heart perfect? Is your heart clean? And you only get clean through the Word of God. It's very important. So don't just follow your wicked heart. You know, it's great that you want to feed the poor, but you don't just want a bunch of fed, unsaved people. Make sure you preach the gospel to them too. Feed them spiritually. I mean, who wants to just go feed a bunch of people that hate the Lord? We want to win them to the Lord. So preach the gospel. Preach the truth. The Bible says we are witnesses unto the Lord. You know, in Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." Isn't that amazing? That's what exactly what's going on today. If you preach the gospel, they're calling it now hate literature, hate messages. If you tell the truth, you're a hate monger. If you preach the gospel of being holy and sanctified and what God says, they call it hate. The world is twisted. No, it's the other way around. Satan is the evil one. God is the good one. So woe unto them that call evil good. In other words, who wants a bunch of fed drunks? No, we want them to repent and accept the Lord and live a godly life. People got things a little bit mixed up. Psalm 99:9 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." You think you're going to be able to approach God if you're not holy? You think you can approach God if you're just nice in your own eyes? If you just buy only Girl Scout cookies and you don't keep the commandments? You think God is really going to accept you? I don't. You know, it says many places in the Bible about being holy. 2 Chronicles 31:18. And these are the genealogies of all the little ones. Their wives, their sons, their daughters. It says, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctify themselves in holiness. Are you sanctifying yourself in holiness? Is that on your mind? Or all you're thinking about is how to improve your smile or improve your attitude? I mean, make sure you do also godly things. You know, bodily exercise profited little, the Bible says. What it means by that is, we're only going to be here for a short time. So, if you're a super muscle man, and you don't do nothing for God, what is it going to profit you when the breath goes out of you? Make sure whatever you do in moderation. But then seek God with all your heart. You know, we can never be fanatical enough for the Lord. I'm sure when we meet the Lord, you're going to think, you're going to wish you had done more for him. You know, Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 96:9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." Isaiah 35:8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." Amen. "The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, and the fools shall not err therein." You know, in Luke chapter 1, 67, the father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets," which it says, "which had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers," and it says, "and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our fathers Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And we're going to serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Praise the Lord. That's Zacharias saying this. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, and he prophesied. Zacharias, isn't that amazing? We're supposed to serve God in holiness, righteousness. You know, in Romans 6:19 says, "I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, of course now, even so now, yield yourselves servants to righteousness unto holiness." Okay? That's what we're supposed to be preaching. Verse 22 says, "But now being made free from sin, being servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness." Holiness. And of course, the rest of that verse is, "and the end, everlasting life." 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." See, this filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Obviously, that's not the Spirit of God. And it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So if you want to perfect holiness, you got to have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Are you more concerned about putting on the new man, which is in the Spirit of God, in true holiness, or the new man with a new suit that you went bought and you got a new smile and you lost 5 pounds and that's all you're thinking about, and you're not thinking about getting in spiritual shape? Everyone's exercising their brains out to lose weight. We want you to shed sin and be lean and get on this straight and narrow path. That's what we're trying to preach. We want you to also be healthy, of course. But at the same time, we want you to be healthy in the spirit, which people are not thinking about. You never hear people talking about this. Sanctifying yourself, being holy. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, to the end he may, this is God, may establish, he might establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God had not called us unto uncleanness, but God called us unto holiness. 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So being holy is very important to God. He even tells the aged women in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to wine. It says teachers of good things. So these aged women must be teachers of good things. You know, in Hebrews 12:14, it's all the same message. Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you're not holy, you're not going to see the Lord. Ephesians 1:4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Are you without blame before him in love? Ephesians 5:27, and God, Jesus wants to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I'm going to read that slower. No spot, no wrinkle, but that it should be holy without blemish. Holy and without blemish. You know, this message that I'm preaching is the old-time gospel. It's the real gospel. It's repent or perish. Repent. Yeshua said he would that none would be lost. He came to save that which was lost. He doesn't desire to send you to a place where you can't even imagine of the horrors. And it's not him doing it. It's you. It's you and your sins. You know, in Luke 12:16, Yeshua, Jesus, he spake a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Very sad. It says, verse 20. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, you never know when the Lord is going to require your soul. You never know when you're going to meet the Lord. I say today, be holy, be sanctified. We ask the Lord to cover us in his holy blood. We thank him for his Holy Spirit that we feel. It says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So all the things you're providing on this world, all the houses you got, all the companies you own, all the lands you own, all the cars and motorcycles and bank accounts. Listen, when you're the breath, you're only one breath away from God. Who's going to get him when you're gone? Does it even matter? What did you do for God in your lifespan, in your lifetime? It says, so is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And as I end so many of my studies with this verse here, because there's nothing else better I can think of in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. And that's the things you don't even think God notices, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, this is a short study today, and I was prompted to do this. I was troubled in my spirit about all these motivational speakers. You know, they got like arenas full of people. They have stadiums full of people. They have like, you know, broadcasts in hundreds of nations around the world where we can hardly even get to five people that can keep the Ten Commandments. I can't even find 10 people that keep the Ten Commandments. But these people are preaching a motivational doctrine. They're preaching this message of just everybody's okay. They're not preaching the real gospel of repent. The Lord is coming. Are you ready to meet the Lord? What are you doing for God? They're not preaching the message of that you have to repent of your sins. And that what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. So, I say to you, while you're exercising, which profited little, while you're making sure there's food in your belly and a roof over your head, don't just focus on that with all your strength. Put most of your strength on what are you doing for God, because only what you do for the Lord is going to last. You know, these people that have bank accounts of $80 million, $100 million, I just pray that the Lord opens their hearts one day and that they will use some of it for the gospel to win souls, because that's all that's going to count in the end. God isn't going to ask you how many books did you sell. He's not going to ask you how many TV shows have you been on. You know, God is going to ask, where are the souls? Did you win any souls for me? What did you do for me? So I praise the Lord today for my salvation. I praise the Lord for this message. Please take it to heart. I tell all these ministers out there and preachers on TV, these TV evangelists, start preaching the gospel of repent or perish. Start telling them that there's a burning hell and that there's a lake of fire awaiting for those that don't repent of their sins. Tell them the truth, that they're only one breath away. And there's a kingdom of heaven that they'll miss out on, where no eye has seen, no ear has heard the wonderful things God has prepared for those that love him and keep his commandments. You know, I praise the Lord today. I just thank God we could be here. We are One of Messiah congregation. If you'd like, come to our website at oneofmessiah.net. Give me a call or email anytime. I'd love to hear from you. I just thank God that he's given us just a little spot here in this world to get the truth out. It is straight and narrow. Few there be that find it. I just thank God for the blood of Christ and the word of the Lord. God bless you. Baruch Hashem Yeshua. Pray for one another. Pray for the peace of Israel. And I thank you for listening today. Shalom in the mighty name of Messiah Yeshua. God bless.